Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson almost 3 years ago revealed a lot of underlying community problems, many of which are in various stages of redress. But Ferguson also proved an inspiration to people inside and outside of the community. We're meeting one on today's program. Pat Potter only recently retired after more than four decades in nursing, mostly at Barnes Jewish Hospital. She could be spending her time reflecting on her past, but instead, she's focusing on the future of youngsters who want to enter the nursing field, specifically students in Ferguson's high schools. We're happy to welcome Pat Potter to our studio. Nice to see you.
It's great to be here.
No relation to Steve Potter.
None. Innocent.
I'm not even sure you would admit it if you were. I hope he's listening to hear all that. No, it's great to have you with us, Pat. You know, let's start with this this effort of yours, which is a noble one, to help out young kids. What was it you saw that motivated you to get into this scholarship field?
Well, I was watching the news with regard to what was going on with the Ferguson event, and I found myself feeling very similar to how I felt during 9/11, because I was watching a lot of the news, and I was beginning to kind of feel numb and feeling it's so sad to see what was going on with our city. And I'm familiar with the Ferguson area because when I was growing up in St. Louis, our family didn't live that far away. So I knew I was not much of a demonstrator, and I couldn't take a toolbox and help rebuild anything. And so I thought, well, maybe I can do something to help kids in Ferguson Florissant with regards to pursuing a nursing career. So I made a contact actually with a friend in my church who knew the financial person at Ferguson Florissant. I met with her and talked about Ferguson Florissant, the kind of school district it is. It's quite an amazing place. They do some excellent work because there's a high poverty level within the area, and they have a number of homeless students, actually, I think in the neighborhood of about 1,200 or more. So she and I agreed. They have about five different high schools in the district, and there were two in particular that do not receive a lot of scholarships for their kids. And so I created Nurses for Ferguson. It's a program that's designed to provide a small amount of funding to two students who have been accepted to nursing school following their graduation from high school. There's no restriction on what schools they want to go to. And year to date, we've had six recipients, and they've gone to UMSL. They've gone to University of Missouri in Columbia. There's one recently now who's going to Kansas University. So my hope is for people out there maybe to have interest who might be willing to give a donation, because we're hopeful over the years to be able to grow the scholarship so that we can increase the amount of funds that we're actually giving to the students.
Where did the initial funding come from?
Well, a lot of it came from my personal contributions, but I also reached out to a lot of friends and colleagues and really got a wonderful response. Also, there's a local group called 100 Women of Needs. I'm saying the wrong name, I'm sorry, who they meet monthly and make a decision about a charity they wish to contribute to. And the local group from the Clayton area gave $5,000 towards the effort. So we've gotten all local support.
I'm guessing that as you were setting this up and learning more about the district that we're talking about, that you might have been surprised by some of the things you learned. You talk about the number of homeless high school students. It's always astonished me that there are so many. There are hundreds and of them in this area.
There are. And Ferguson Florissant has a really good program for making sure they provided meals and connecting them with the right kind of resources. I can't quote the exact number, but I know Ferguson Florissant has really a very good pass rate, graduation rate for students. So.
There is so much about that community that is misunderstood. I think that Michael Brown shooting, which triggered your whole interest in this, revealed a lot of things about the community people didn't know, but there were they thought a lot of negative things that weren't true.
Oh, yes. And I remember that next year I got an opportunity to travel to France, and people were talking about Ferguson, Missouri, and unfortunately in a negative light. So.
Well, we had a visitor here at the station who stayed with us for a period of time from Germany, and the first thing that she wanted to do was to go to Ferguson because that's all she had heard about for so long. And she was astonished because she said, I expected a bombed out Kind of Berlin after the war kind of situation. Mm-hmm. She said it was a wonderful
community.
So you kind of reaffirmed a lot in going through this whole process.
It's been very rewarding, and I, as I said, I just hope we can continue it.
What can you tell me about the students, the six students or so who have received scholarships so far?
Well, I know that I haven't gotten a chance to verbally speak with them. We've communicated with letters. I know that they're still continuing. The two that got the original scholarship are still enrolled. So that's encouraging. I hope that happens because as long as they stay in their programs, they get additional funds each year.
And correct me if I'm wrong, my impression was that it's a $2,500 scholarship.
Right.
So over a course of, is it a four-year term?
Well, it depends on their choice of school. Mm-hmm. They could also go to a community college, and that would be just 2 years. So mm-hmm. it's their choice. I didn't set limits on that.
But any help that any student can get going to higher education today is
right.
is valuable.
Nursing education is very expensive. So this fund is really sort of the tip of the iceberg. And again, that's one reason why I'd like it to grow. But for example, Barnes Jewish, our new graduates, they will tell you they have an average of about $40,000 in debt that still they're trying to pay once they graduate.
Can you imagine?
No. When I went to nursing school back in the 60s, I went through three full years for less than $2,000.
Really? Why is it so expensive?
Well, nursing has typically been a little bit more expensive because of the ratio of faculty to students. There needs to be fewer students per faculty because of the clinical coverage that faculty provide. And I'm sure over the years, the schools will tell you just the cost operationally running the buildings, the cost of maintaining all the new educational resources. I think there's probably opportunities to reduce the cost, but I'm not directly involved enough with the academic world anymore to tell you what that might be.
Do you have any sense of how curriculum has changed since back in the day, if I may put it that way?
That's dramatic. nursing is sort of complicated to understand. When I first went into nursing, there was the three-year diploma program. There was also four-year universities, and then the two-year community colleges arose. And that was for various reasons. The diploma programs were focused in hospitals, and they were designed to really teach us how to become very strong clinicians so that as soon as we graduated, we provided a workforce for the hospital. The four-year programs were much more broader, giving students a greater academic background so that they could be pursue perhaps a greater variety of options professionally. And the two-year program is particularly suited for women who were supporting families and needed to get through school in a shorter period of time. Hmm. So the education has evolved dramatically. There is less clinical time now spent, and that's due to accrediting agencies reducing those clinical hours. A lot more emphasis on students becoming more focused with other options other than just hospital nursing, such as community health, home health, what have you. So it creates a problem for hospitals hiring new graduates because oftentimes the students aren't quite as prepared clinically as they were in the past, and that places burden on hospitals to have to do a lot of extra training.
We should point out that a number of men are going into this field, too.
Oh, fortunately, yes, a lot more.
You say fortunately because there's a need.
Oh, I think so, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a great opportunity for men. We see a good number of them who tend to go in the direction of nurse anesthesia, critical care. But recently, one of our education programs on compassion fatigue, I met a young man who's assistant head nurse on our psychiatric nursing unit. So there's a great deal of need. And a number of the male students also are interested long-term in administrative opportunities.
Does it happen with any kind of frequency at all that people who go through nursing training at some point want to become and do become physicians?
That doesn't happen very often. I think there's the individuals who think about medicine as an option, I think about that on the front end. And learn enough about what that commitment involves and what's required to pass on medicine and go to nursing instead. I'm sure there's exceptions, but it's not that common.
Yeah, well,
what's happening instead, Don, is that The roles in nursing have really changed, and there's a lot of nurses going on to graduate school and then becoming nurse practitioners. And in many ways, that allows them to assume some of the aspects of the physician role, but most importantly, really being able to support patients through a true nursing perspective.
You know, I wanted to talk about the nurse practitioners because I've been exposed to a couple in the last couple of years and been terrifically impressed with how much they know. I mean, in effect, they're doctors.
Well, that statement kind of makes me a little nervous, and let me explain why. When people ask me the difference between what nurses and physicians do, physicians diagnose and treat medical conditions. Nurses treat the patient's response to those conditions. So, for example, if you have serious arthritis, your physician's going to treat you, but the pain, the changes in mobility you have, we as nurses can really help give you alternatives. So nurse practitioners have a very holistic view of patient care. They're not only interested in your physical problem, which they can manage and can prescribe treatments, they're also very tuned into how does that affect you at home? How does that impact your family? How can we make you more functional long term? How can we make you keep healthy and not have to go to a hospital? And they have incredible value and impact. And fortunately, we're really seeing a great number of them here in St. Louis, but also they have a great contribution in rural communities where there's not as many physicians.
Yeah, just to be clear on this, I'm not sure that I picked it up exactly. What sort of additional training do they have in order to achieve that level?
Well, they have to have a graduate degree in nursing, and the programs vary across the country, but usually they'll choose a specialty like gerontology or critical care. And then they'll go on and get a doctorate in nursing as a nurse practitioner. There are programs where they can transition fairly smoothly from getting their baccalaureate degree and on to get a doctorate degree. And every program's a bit different. But ultimately, they'll usually get a DNP, doctorate in nursing practitioner.
How long does that take? I had no idea that there was a doctorate involved in this.
Well, again, it varies by program. It can take as long as, I would say 6 to 8 years, or as few probably as 3 or 4, depending on the way you do it. I think it's important, and this is a point of a lot of discussion, I think it's important for anyone who wants to become a nurse practitioner to get a minimum of 3 good clinical years in nursing practice to really understand what is nursing, begin to be more familiar with patient conditions. What does it mean as a patient changes? And then when you have the added knowledge and skills of a nurse practitioner, you're going to be much more effective.
Yeah. We're talking with Pat Potter. She's a retired nurse, and her reason for being here today is to talk about nursing, obviously, but also to let us know about a program that she has started whereby she is providing scholarships to nursing students from the Ferguson-Florissant School District primarily. All of this inspired by the turmoil in that community and the economic conditions in that community that came to light following the shooting death of Michael Brown. If you have questions for Pat, we're going to talk more about nursing when we come back. But if you have questions, give us a call, 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send us a tweet, we'll take that at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Pat Potter. Pat, as nursing has changed over the years, how has that changed the relationship between nurses and doctors?
Oh, much more collaboration, I would say. There's 3 main areas I've seen nursing evolve, and that is their practices, their roles, and their education. And they're all interconnected. More nurses have pursued education, graduate degrees, doctoral degrees. And as a result, the knowledge of nursing has changed dramatically. I'll give you a quick example. 40 years ago, you would stay in the hospital for at least, 6 days after a major surgery, and you'd be in bed for a long period of time. And science has shown that that causes deconditioning. You physically are weaker and not able to function as well. And so now we're getting patients up within the first 14 hours, if not sooner, after surgery to prevent complications. It's not just to kick you out early. Nursing knowledge has really evolved because of nursing research. And I think that has helped build the respect of physicians. And physicians are beginning to recognize that nurses are equal colleagues with regards to their level of scientific knowledge. Physicians 40 years ago wanted to practice their way. And there was a lot of variation between how you might treat a total hip procedure or how you might deal with someone who's had a heart attack. But with the evidence that exists now in science, we now have what we call evidence-based practices that form the guidelines we use to care for patients. And a lot of those have been built on collaboration between nurses and physicians.
This is such an age of specialization in so many different areas, and
absolutely,
certainly in the medical field that we're talking about. And certainly we've seen that in what you've described in the nursing field. We know it's true with doctors. Is there a shortage of I'm not even sure what to call it, but we talk about general practitioners, doctors. You know, they're just doctors. I don't mean to minimize that, but you know what I mean. They're not specialists in any one particular thing. And the same in the nursing field. Is there a shortage in these areas?
Oh, incredibly so. And it's also probably the hardest role to achieve. For example, nurses who work on a general medicine floor have the hardest job there is, because they have to know about arthritis and heart disease and lung disease and on and on and on. And if you're in a small community hospital, that list is even longer. When you can work in an academic hospital like Barnes Jewish and work on a specialty area, you're really allowed to focus your knowledge and become really expert. So, yes, there is a shortage. And research has shown, for example, among physicians that the level of burnout is highest among general practitioners.
I want to get to that. We talk about burnout and compassion fatigue, which you mentioned a moment ago. But we have a caller here from St. Louis who wants to get into the discussion. That would be Christopher. Christopher, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. You know, I love the fact that you guys are talking about health careers and talking about the nursing programs. You know, St. Louis Public Schools has a fantastic health careers programs that between their EMT program and their nursing programs, you've got students who are leaving their schools as seniors, 18 years old, with EMT licenses as well as with their CNA. And their instructors do a tremendous job.
Well, that's certainly good to hear, yes. Pat. That's something you certainly are all for.
Yeah,
sure.
I know a colleague who is involved in that program, and it is very successful.
Yeah, well, and we need more in the field here.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things you're helping to deal with your scholarships. Before I get on to some other things, I want to be sure to get this in. You know, if there are young people listening now that want to get in on that or try to find out more, what can they do?
In terms of
the scholarship program.
Oh, if there's people, if there are students at Ferguson Florissant who are interested in nursing, they need to work with their counselors, I'm told, to really be able to then be led to get the right resources, because there's options other than just our scholarship. The St. Louis Community Foundation, though, is the group that Ferguson Florissant has identified as managing the scholarship funds. It saves Ferguson Florissant a lot of operational expense. And you can get to the St. Louis Community Foundation on their website, which is www.stlgives.org. And then they can give the students information about the various scholarship monies available and how they can apply. For those who want to donate, they can go to that same website. And then when they go to the tab, it's called Give Today. They're able to go use a credit card and make a donation by selecting the specific fund. And again, in this case, it's called Nurses for Ferguson.
We will put links to those websites and that further information on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Let's get back to the term you used earlier. Compassion fatigue. I guess that explains itself, or does it?
Well, a lot of people falsely look at the term as thinking, oh, we get tired of being compassionate, and that's not really it. It's the fatigue that results from being compassionate and caring. And it's a combination of seeing people suffering And it's a combination of having to deal with a lot of challenges in the workplace when you don't feel like you have enough resources to manage them. And as that wears on you, it affects you physically and mentally. People become very fatigued. They tend to socialize less. They develop bad eating habits. They're very anxious. They have poor sleep habits. And if they don't find a way to manage that day-to-day stress, and healthcare, stress in healthcare is never going to go away, Don. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be there. Our class tries to help them learn how to recognize the stress and manage it in a way where they can turn it off when they go home, do a better job of taking care of themselves, doing healthy behaviors, and then when they wake up the next morning, they have the energy to do the crazy job they have again.
You know, it almost sounds to me like post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Well, it's similar. In post-traumatic stress, you're the victim. Direct violence towards you, like a patient strikes you. Secondary traumatic stress, which is part of compassion fatigue, is when you witness that over and over and see it happening to other people. Patients, for example, who just don't get better and keep coming back week after week with problems.
That's got to be a terrifically difficult part of the job.
Absolutely.
You know, I think of nurses and doctors and anyone who is involved in neonatal intensive care, for instance, cancer wards, and places where you know the outcome is not likely to be very positive. I mean, dealing with that day after day has got to be excruciating.
Oh, it is. And I've always said that the one area that I could never work in as a nurse, my hat's off to pediatric nurses who work in emergency departments, especially in the inner city, and seeing the kids that come in who've been abused or who have really serious chronic disease at such a young age.
It would take a special type to work even in your basic emergency room, seeing what comes in night after night and day after day.
Absolutely. And the EMT, the trauma workers who are out there, the police.
Yeah. You know, you talked about teaching a course in this. What kind of a course are we talking about?
We have a six-hour program we teach at Barnes Jewish. It's right now it's available to BJH employees as well as staff in any of the BJC hospitals. We teach it twice a month. Since its inception, we've had over 1,000 participants. And the people who come to the class really enjoy it. They evaluate in a very positive way. And it's had, we feel, some good outcomes. So,
Are you teaching it?
I still try to do a little bit, but I've passed the baton on to a colleague.
I was going to say, I thought we said you were retired, but it doesn't sound like you necessarily are. The idea of dealing with young people, again, What do you see in the people who are coming into the field today that maybe is different from when you started? Are more highly motivated, do you think?
Well,
less so?
I don't know. I worry that they don't always understand the scope of what nursing involves. One big thing that's changed is the salaries. Now, are nurses getting paid sufficient dollars? Well, I can only say that they're getting paid significantly more than they did when I first went in. And there's opportunities in nursing to get a really very good salary if you continue to pursue your career. But I do believe that attracts a lot of people to the profession for the wrong reasons. So it's very important if you're considering nursing to, I think, care about people. Recognize that you're going to have to be a good communicator, that you're going to be learning a lot of personal things about the people you take care of and be able to manage that. And if you go into the hospital setting initially, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, the idea of having a nurse who is not good at that sort of thing, I mean, that can be very disruptive, can't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We have another caller here, and time's getting away, but let's bring in Karen for a quick question or comment. Go ahead, Karen.
Thank you. I want to ask, how do you see the role of caregivers and family caregivers and how nursing is impacting that? There are 40 million family caregivers, and we depend so much on health home care workers and nurses and nursing to take care of our loved ones. How is that changing the field? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, that's interesting. Actually, that was the focus of my doctoral dissertation, family caregiving. It's a huge need, and I don't think we're doing enough to partner with family caregivers to really educate them and help them understand what they're going to be facing when a loved one is discharged home. I was involved in a project a few years ago that unfortunately did not work, in which we were wanting to try to provide an online education program for family caregivers to help them learn some of the basic skills of caregiving. It's really critical because many people are not eligible for home care, and the number of home care visits can run out pretty quickly. So it's critical that all healthcare agencies begin to appreciate the importance of family caregivers and to give them the education and support they need to be able to help family members appropriately.
Only a few seconds left. It's especially important these days with dementia and
Alzheimer's
huge, yes. And the caregivers that are involved.
Because it's very stressful for them.
Yeah. Just one final thought in the few seconds we have left. Tell folks once again how they can get in touch with your scholarship program.
They can go to www.stlgives.org, go to the tab Give Today, and then you can select the fund that you wish to give to, which is Nurses for Ferguson, hopefully.
And send more young people off into a great career in
Absolutely.
Nursing. Pat Potter, thank you so much. Congratulations to you on your great career and all that you've done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Happy retirement to Pat Potter. Coming up, underground secrets revealed in downtown St. Louis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.